Good afternoon, everyone. I'm going to call your attention over here. Now, I come from a Filipino family, so I'm a little shorter. So hopefully you can all hear me, and I'll do my best to project my voice, but I'm going to step down here, so that makes me about half the size. But thank you for coming. My workshop is called Mobilizing Children into Ministry, and I'm going to be talking about how it's important to cultivate a counterculture of servant leadership and volunteering. And just to kind of start things off nice and easy, why don't I just go ahead and talk about myself, just so you guys can understand who I am and maybe the context from which I'm speaking from. So I said my name is Mikey Pearson, and I serve as an associate pastor of the grade school ministries at North Peak Community Church, which is just over in Abbotsford, not too far from here. And I primarily work with kids in grades 3, 4, and 5 right now, but over the last 5 years, I've worked from kids from kindergarten to grade 5. And so that is my range of experience. So I haven't been doing this for decades, right? But just like you guys, I've been learning and picking up lots along the way, and I hope to share some insightful things with you today. Now, Bethy and I have been married for the last 8 years, and God has gifted us with the blessing of raising two daughters. So I got two little girls, Anna, who is 5 years old this year, and Amelia, who's about 2.5. And it's been great kind of working at Northview Community Church for roughly 5 years. You know, had some friends over at Wellington Church as well and stuff. So there are some familiar faces in this room. I've never given a workshop before, so please show me a little bit of grace. But like I said, we're all friends here. Just to get an idea of who I'm talking to, could you guys raise your hand for me if you work in children's ministry? Yeah? It's like pretty much all of you guys. Okay, good. And if you're a parent or as well, I hope there's, you know, important information that we can all talk about together as we raise kids, whether in ministry or home or, you know, working with volunteers as well. So the first thing I really want to talk about when getting into talking about mobilizing children into ministry is it's not like I'm sending kids to China. It's not like, you know, I'm sending 10-year-olds into inner-city missions. I'm talking about things that are a little bit closer to home, because I mean, it's a big topic, right? But let's really start with the basis of it. Why is it important to volunteer? So put together sort of a biblical basis for volunteering, and this is really a great foundation to work with your own volunteers, but also just in getting kids to understand, and for yourself, why get children into ministry? Why should anyone really be into ministry? And I really do believe that the responsibility of church leadership is to not just do the work of the ministry, but to equip the body to do the work. It's really easy to get into this trap where only pastors do ministry and everybody else just helps, right? But really, as church leadership, we should be equipping people to do the ministry, right? Our aim should not just be a marketplace of various ministries where people come and participate or even just spectate, but a mission training center. And then that's just local and global as well, right? Getting involved in local missions and in your own communities, as well as thinking abroad, like how can we get people out there? And if your church is at Mission Training Center, then you really can mobilize anybody into ministry. And later on, I'm going to talk about why that's important with kids. So as we look at Ephesians chapter 4, right, and Paul is talking, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ. And it's a very foundational piece here about equipping others for ministry. And it continues on, right? Until we attain to unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, mature personhood, to the measure and stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves, but carried about by every doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, which is Christ. From the whole body, joined and held together by every joint which it is equipped. Because when each part is working properly, it makes the body grow, so it builds itself up in love. And I'm going to be talking about how children are part of that too. Like everyone is part of the body of Christ. So church leadership should be equipping its members for ministry. And if you work with children, how are you going to be equipping them for a life of ministry? This is very important for the spiritual health and the growth of the church, as this verse is pointing out to us. The other thing we can look at is an example in the New Testament of deacons, right? There's an example of people serving the body right there, beginning in Acts chapter 6. And we also have a description of the qualifications for deacons. Now, we often don't think of children as deacons. But here we can see what is the purpose that they have, right? In Acts chapter 6, it says, "And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, 'It's not right that we should give up the preaching of the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, but full of the Spirit and wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. And we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word.'" So deacons were a part of God's design for the church, right? That people would come and serve. They help maintain the spiritual health of the church by allowing pastors to devote themselves to prayer and to the preaching of the word of God. Right? So, I mean, this is good stuff to pass on to your volunteers as well, right? You guys are needed, right? And not only that, you guys probably have codes of conduct for the people that you need to serve, right? And so we have the qualifications of deacons as sort of an outline of the character that we're looking for. But we can also call children into that as well. And moving on, for a more biblical basis for volunteering, I also want to talk about Christ's example of humility. And this is a really easy one for kids to grasp on too as well. In Philippians chapter 2, it says, "So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, and being in full accord of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. Being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, and so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Amen? Amen? Amen, right? So we have among ourselves this mind of Christ, so to speak, right? That is to serve one another in humility, right? God is calling every Christian to serve each other in humility. And the church in Philippi is instructed to serve each other with humility, and so we should too. So we have that biblical basis of Christ's humility in serving one another. Another one I want to talk about from the life of Jesus is where Jesus washes the disciples' feet. You guys are very familiar with this passage, right? John 13 says, "When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, 'Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash another's feet, one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you.'" And Christ again gives us an example of serving one another in love and in humility. And again, in that chapter, he talks about a new commandment with his disciples. He says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You are also to love one another. And by this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Disciples are to serve disciples. Loving your church and serving it humbly shows those outside the church that we are the disciples of Christ. And so we have that basis there of loving one another, serving one another, and doing it humbly, because that's what Jesus has done for us as an example. I mean, he is more than our example, but today we're talking about loving and serving the church. And it kind of to fit in with your theme you guys are talking about, right? We're talking about gospel-loving kids in a gospel-hitting culture. Another biblical basis for volunteering is it's countercultural, right? Servant leadership is not really what the world wants us to do, is it, right? The world doesn't define success in serving other people. But in the church, that is what we're supposed to do, is to love one another, serve one another with humility, right? So Jesus said in Matthew 20, "It shall not be so among you, but whoever would be the great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be your slave. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." So Jesus modeled servant leadership. And we don't want to emulate the leadership examples of the world. Our example is Jesus. who came as a servant, humble. Servant leadership is just as countercultural as it was in his time when he was speaking this to the disciples, as it is today, getting people to volunteer and to prioritize loving their church and serving the body. It's a difficult task, but we're called to do it, right? And we have those examples before us. So I hope I'm preaching to the choir here, because have you got anybody here also have problems getting volunteers to come out? Yeah? Right? I mean, these are the kind of the visions that you can cast to them as well. Like, this is what we should be doing as a church, right? And it's very different to serve in the church than to serve outside of it. In other words, it's the same way that you would maybe tithe and give money to the church. It means something different than giving to a charity, right? And so that's a difficult call to bring forth to people, but I think we need to do it, right? But we need to be equipping those saints. And we need to be giving them the examples of Christ, and so they can see how it leads to the health of the church, which is really important. So, probably wondering, what is all this? How does this apply to children, right? Because that's what we want to talk about today. How does a biblical basis for volunteering apply to children? The first point I want to talk about, and this should be clear to everyone, is that children are fully people, right? They're not half people, they're not quarter people, they're fully people, and therefore they're fully Christian too. It's really easy to think of, because they're on their way to being adults, or they're not quite on their, you know, Christians yet either, that they're going to somehow grow into a meaningful Christian later. And I think it's really easy to fall into that trap just from hearing criticisms on the outside. And any of you guys ever get criticisms from your work with kids that way? Like, oh, it doesn't really matter yet, right? It's going to matter later, or kids don't really make significant decisions yet. And that's not really true. In Matthew 19, verse 14, Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for such belongs the kingdom of heaven." And again, when Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Children are spiritual people too, right? Children are fully human. They bear the image of God as well and are capable of being born again and made spiritually alive by the Holy Spirit through faith in Jesus Christ. And that is a truth that I believe in. I hope you believe in it too. That children are fully spiritual people as well. And so if they are fully people and they're also fully Christian, then therefore they too need to mature in their faith as well. As George Barna once said, children are not people en route to significance, which a lot of people can define as adulthood. They are significant and deserving of investment and choice resources today. And so as we look at Ephesians 4:12-13 again, let me highlight the fact that it says, "Until we all attain the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood to the measure and stature of fullness of Christ." Children can mature in their faith. It can begin today, right, as we equip them for ministry. Until we all attain a unity of faith, right? Not just adults, but everyone can mature in their walk with Christ. Wherever it begins, if it's 4 years old, 8 years old, we don't have to just assume it begins at 18. So therefore, children also need to discover their spiritual gifts for ministry. I do a volunteer interview, and one of the questions I like to ask to people who are potential volunteers is, do you know what your spiritual gifts are? I mean, if you guys ever ask volunteers that question, oftentimes many people don't know, right? I mean, I had the opportunity to go to a Bible college and take a spiritual formation class, and you take these quizzes, right? And you fill in the bubbles and you try to figure out, okay, what are my spiritual giftings? What is God giving me to help build up his church? A lot of people don't get those opportunities. And so begin young with kids, right? They need to discover what their spiritual gifts are so that those things can be nurtured. In 1 Corinthians 12, we have here talking about spiritual gifts. It says, "Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. All of these are empowered by the one and the same Spirit who apportions to each individually as he wills." And further on, in the same chapter, verse 12, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. And so children are members of the body of Christ as well. It's really easy to exclude them from that picture, but we need them just as much as they need us for spiritual health of the church, right? They have gifts to offer. So equipping the saints for ministry is to build up the body of Christ is just as essential for adults as it is for children. It is for the purpose of reaching spiritual maturity, right? So we need to help them to discover their spiritual gifts. Everyone is given spiritual gifts for the common good, and this includes children too. To ask a rhetorical question, does God withhold his Holy Spirit from children? Or does he give them that as well? I might say, yes, he does. So what gifts has he given them? Children are part of the body of Christ, and they too can be contributing members to the church body. It's easy to think that they have nothing to offer, but they do, because it's God who is empowering them through his Holy Spirit. Now, this kind of raises a question, though, right? Are spiritual gifts given to us when we become Christians, or do they come later in our walk with God? I think the answer is both, that some are noticeable right away, and others come as we grow and as we mature. Normally, gifts can be given at conversion, but they need to be cultivated through spiritual growth, and that is something we can come alongside and do, or volunteers come alongside and do with kids, is to cultivate the spiritual gifts that they've been given or help them to discover them as they continue to mature in their faith. So why is it important to foster a culture of volunteering at a young age? Well, two things I want to talk about is attitudes and behaviors are learned by example. As you guys probably read in 1 Timothy 4:12, let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in faith, in love, and in purity. So we set those examples for the kids, but the kids can also set that example as well. As we know, during childhood, lifelong habits are formed as children are growing. Values and beliefs are formed, these things we call worldviews. Some of those things aren't consciously chosen upon, but they get picked up by the examples that are placed in front of them. Children take cues from their environment and the places that they grow up, particularly from the people who they trust. And so as they learn to trust their youth leaders, their children workers, their teachers, their parents, that's what instills in them the beliefs and values that they have. So what are your kids learning about being part of the body of Christ as they attend your church? What are they learning about the importance of volunteering or using your spiritual gifts in going to your programs? That's something that I've been challenged with a lot lately. What kind of example am I setting for them in being involved in the church? And mobilizing young, getting kids involved into using their spiritual gifts and seeing that they have something to contribute to the body of Christ, doing it young can mean a healthy church in the future as well as today, as well as just future volunteer leaders. These kids are a part of a program I'll talk about later that we have. It's a serving leadership program. And it's amazing to see the way they come back and bless us. And I'll talk more about that later. And to quote George Barna again, he says, if you want to have a lasting influence upon the world, you must invest in people's lives. And if you want to maximize that investment, then you must invest in those people while they're young. So we can maximize that investment of having a healthy church that loves to volunteer and serve the body of Christ by investing in people and investing in them when they're young. Now, mobilizing children to ministry does as much to spur spiritual growth in them, in children, as much as it does for the church. It's a blessing to see kids serving, isn't it, right? To see them loving Jesus and loving others that way. Now, if we teach and model servant leadership and church service to our children today, we will see the fruit of that effort blossom for decades to come. So it does take a while sometimes, right? You know how it is. You plant those seeds, but it definitely can come back decades later as the longer you stay in the ministry. You know, I have only been there 5 years, but I've heard some stories. And those things encourage me, knowing that I'm doing an important work, right? Like Nehemiah, not going to come down. But I'm going to keep plugging into those kids. Because many of the kids who serve in our grade 5 servant leadership program come back as teen volunteers. As soon as they turn 14, they want to come back and give. And you can create a pipeline of servant leadership that benefits your ministry and the health of the church just by investing in young kids and getting them involved. So, we want to take some practical steps as well. It's how do we do this, right? It's easy. I have kids, and it's easy to say, you know, you need to do this or you should do this. It's a lot harder to get them to do it, right? So how do we get kids involved? One of the greatest things I found, not only in setting an example, but getting them mobilized, is prayer. You'll find that you'll probably have kids in your circles of influence who are gifted with prayer already, that love to pray, that love to talk to God. Get them to pray before each part of your program, before you sing a song, before you read the Bible, before you begin your lesson. Ask them to come up and pray and remind them, you know, you don't have to be a pastor to pray at a church. Anyone can, right? And there's no magic words when you talk to God, is there, right? And you can get them to come up and pray. And in that way, they're being examples to their peers, but also blessing your ministry just in praying for you as well. Model prayer and also invite them to practice it corporately. One of the things that we've done well, that works well for us, is in getting kids to do an offering. So we do like a time of worship with the kids, with the grade school kids, and all our offering money goes to the Compassion Kids that we support. And this way we encourage them to bring, you know, any pocket change they have. And we even do like a Bible Bucks program, and so they can donate those too. But it's encouraging those to give. And some kids, they've got that spiritual gift to give, right? And to raise money and to do all sorts of amazing things. And we also do letter writing to them as well. So some kids have, you know, gifts of encouragement. And they get opportunities to write letters to these kids, and they can model that for their peers as well. And so supporting Compassion Kids, and it doesn't have to be Compassion Kids, it can be a number of ministries. Really, it can be even your missionaries that are overseas, right? But getting them to use their gifts in those ways to kind of build up the body. You can have fundraisers to get their whole classes or even their families involved. Those are very practical ways for kids to discover things that they love to do for their church. So one of the things I've been doing for the last 5 years, I've had an opportunity to do, and I've seen this at other churches as well, is we have something called Kids Crew. And those are the kids you saw with the jerseys in that picture. And these are some of the kids I get to know the best. It's really hard to get to know 100 kids really well, but you know, maybe 20 is something that's a lot easier for me to do. And so with the student leadership team, the servant leadership team, we get to challenge kids to serve. It's our most visible example of servant leadership. Now, Kids Crew is Kids Are Energizing Worship, in case anybody wanted to know, right? There's a lot of acronyms in children's ministry, isn't there? Yeah? That's another one. But they are part of the worship time that we have together, right? And so what that means is they have an opportunity to be ushers, right? So they're there at the beginning at the stairs, you know, and they give kids high fives as they come in, and they greet people. And if there's a child who's new and doesn't know where to go or who to meet, I can connect them with that kid. And that way they get to use gifts of hospitality to be able to get these kids plugged in, you know, to small groups. They also get to do actioneering, which is another great term, which they get to do all the actions for the songs, right? Who here leads children's worship? Any of you guys? Yeah? That's my job, right? I get to wave my arms and sing the songs. And they help me do it, too. So they're up there to my left and to my right, and they're doing the actions as well. And they're being examples to their peers. And some of the kids, it's a real challenge, right? But that's part of it, challenging them to serve. And other kids, they've got the gift, you know? And maybe they don't know how to play an instrument or anything yet, or they're not in a band, but they can lead others in worship by example. And so that's a fun one as well. We also get them to read scripture as part of the service. I'll go ahead and show you, this is kind of the brochure that we give them. It's an application, right? It has more information about it. They can read scripture during the service as well. And I, you know what? It takes up a lot of time sometimes for me, right? For a 10-year-old who comes up and he's maybe not that good at reading, right? But they get better and they're doing it in front of their peers. They're holding a Bible. And that way they're modeling, you know, submitting to scripture as well. And it takes a while for them to read, right? But it's so worth it to get them involved, to get them to serve each other, you know, humbly. I have to add, we do like an orientation program with them where we bring them in. And a lot of the verses I showed you here from like Jesus washing his disciples' feet, as well as his example of humility in Philippians, I share that with them because that's what I want them to do for each other, right? Disciples to serve disciples that way, in love and humility. And so during every September, we take in a new group of grade fives, and we get to do that together and work with them. Like, you're not going to be over them, right? You're not better than them by being part of these programs, but you're here to serve. To serve your church, right? To love each other, right? And to give yourself this way. This is like the inside of the application. Sorry, it's a little bit smaller than I anticipated, but they get to be greeters, ushers, actioneers. Anyway, yeah, tech personnel, which is, I think, highly overrated, but the kids love it. They get to sit behind the computer and go through the slides, right? It's really not a lot, but some kids, you know what? They find a gift for that. There's a kid I know now, he's 15, and he helps out in our worship center in the big service. He's behind the soundboard now because it started here. He didn't know that was something you could do in a church. And he's not, you know, an outspoken guy, but he found his place, and he's serving. Other things you can do is teen volunteers as well. Another great program that we have that I'll share with you is a kids band. So a lot of these kids are former kids, and when they go into junior high, we're blessed to have a worship intern be able to put this program together. But once a month, the kids band plays live music for the kids, and it's a great relief for me, right? Because normally I do worship to videos and recordings, but here they get to see kids who are just a little bit older than them, but they're already serving and being worship leaders, right? So this kids band will play in youth groups as well, but once a month we get the blessing of having them come along and lead the kids in worship, right? And they get to model it that way as well. So some of those kids are grades 6, 7, and 8, up to 14 and 15. Unfortunately, when we get to grade 11, 12, they get a little too busy, as you guys probably know, right? But it's so great. Those kids, most of them were in the program, and now they just want to give back. They want to be there for the other kids and to serve that way. And there are challenges to working with teenagers in this setting and with kids as well, right? But, you know, again, point them to that biblical basis of serving their church and loving one another in humility. And they can do it. I'll show you another picture. It's pretty great having those kids. We also use teen volunteers during day camp as well. And it's really easy to overlook that part as well, right? That kids who are in grade 5, we stop day camp at that time, and then we start volunteering at 14. But just getting them excited that, hey, when you come 14 again, like, you can come back to our day camp and you can give. And a lot of them love to do that. They come back, and we're going to start up like a leadership and training program. And it's a lot of work, but we really want to invest in those teen volunteers by saying, if you come and, you know, invest in these little ones, we're going to invest in you too, right? And we're going to train you to use your gifts, you know, to serve the church. You know, it's not just about babysitting, right? But reaching spiritual maturity. And yes, they love to be in our Sunday school as well, especially the boys, right? If you can connect with those boys in grade 5 and they come back as leaders, it's worth so much, right? And just because they've graduated your ministry, it doesn't mean they can't have a meaningful impact. And to be able to use their gifts to bless your ministry today. So those things all kind of happen on the weekend. You know, there are things I have my hand in, but there's other ways to mobilize kids into ministry as well that are just beyond coming to church on the weekends. Some great things that we've been able to do that I'll share with you are some family service projects. Going to the food bank. Food banks always need volunteers. You can get families to organize service projects together where they come and they sort food, and that's something any kid can do, right? It has a meaningful impact. So usually it begins with the church kind of figuring out how to get that organized, but pretty soon families can take that over on their own. You know, you don't even have to go with a group. You can just contact the food bank in your own time and figure out when you can come in and serve. And in this way, parents can model that with their families. Like, hey, we're going to give to our community, you know, and maybe it's not tons of money, but we can give our time. And we can sort food at the food bank. Another one is we have the MCC located in Abbotsford as well, and they do sorting and things like that and helping out there. And getting in contact with those organizations or those types of organizations and setting up family service projects is a great way to see how kids can start getting involved in ministry already and helping their communities. Other ones are backpack programs where you know, we have, it's called, it used to be called Blessings in a Backpack. I think it's called Starfish Backpacks now. And they put together, you know, food for kids for the weekend. There's a lot of kids who don't eat well over the weekend that come from low-income families. And so these backpacks are stuffed with food from volunteers. And some of them are kids because they can do that, right? And they can give that way. Other things that you can do at the home and involve the family is assisting parent volunteers. And this is something I've seen that's sort of organically happening on its own, and it's awesome to see. Say you have a volunteer at your church who's an usher or who's a greeter, right, and they're at the door, but they have kids at home. Get them to bring their kids, right? Kids can collect an offering in a large service. Kids can be greeters at the door. They can hand out bulletins, but they're doing it with family. And they're seeing that exemplified and modeled in their church so that they don't have to think, oh, I have to wait till I'm a dad to do that. No, you can do that as soon as you want to, right? And you can be part of the church that way. And you can be mobilized for ministry. Coffee service is another one I've seen. We just have like a simple coffee bar at the church, but there's kids behind there getting things ready, right? Setting up coffee in the morning. And it's really great to see them doing that, right? And they're just doing it together as a family. We have an after-school program called Village Kids that we work together with another church. So this happens at EV Free Church in Abbotsford. And it begins as an after-school program where there's games and there's tutoring and things like that. But some of these kids that started going there stayed on when they were in junior high, and they're now junior leaders as well. And they want to be able to give back to that program. And even just older kids can tutor younger kids if you have programs like this. And so it's not just has to be pastors doing the ministry, but everyone, including the kids, right? And so some of these kids, you know, ended up being in the serving leadership program and other things, but it began in places like this, right? It was sort of a bridge into the church or ways that they can give to their communities just outside their church walls. So Village Kids is pretty great. So at this time, I kind of want to ask you guys, do you guys have any questions for me? If not, I have a few more examples I'd like to give.
Mm-hmm. What sort of training do you provide your crew?
What's that again?
What sort of training you said you provide your training? How often, and you know, you have people volunteer mm-hmm. with you, and then what?
So what we do is we do an orientation in September, kind of at the end of the month, because kids all kind of come back from vacation, right? And you have the Labor Day long weekend. And so we're kind of promoting it through the month of September, getting the grade fives to sign up. So we just do grade fives so that it's something that they can, at the end of their kind of time with us, can turn back and begin to give, right? As we kind of call them towards, okay, let's mature in your faith and let's kind of get you in action as well. And so it's about, you know, an hour or two. So it's after school on like a Wednesday. We get them together and I bring them into the space that we use in the weekends, right? And first I sit down with them and do the whole, like, this is why you do this, right? It's all about servant leadership. It's really clear, you know, you want to be really clear with your expectations with them that you're not going to be bossing kids around when you're in this program, right? But you're going to be looking for ways that you can meet their needs and their spiritual needs too, right? And you want to be able to serve them. And we have to form teams there. So we get a lot of kids, but commitment is a very big piece, right? You have to be very clear what the kind of commitment you want with them. And so some services, we have a lot of kids, so we'll put them on opposite teams. And so that way you don't have too many at once. Other services are small enough, and I'll ask them to come every week, right? And I contact them through their emails with their parents to be able to let them know when their schedule is. And parents, you know, they need to get back to us, like, oh, we're not going to be there this weekend. The program itself is actually really flexible because I don't want to push them out of it, right? And I really want to encourage them in what they're doing. But I do ask them to give a commitment, right? Because that's a key piece to understanding, you know, volunteering and serving your church. It's being committed. And so we do like a dry run of a service, right? We do a bunch of songs. We do like training for the songs. We practice taking, you know, the offering and stuff like that, or reading up loud, doing scripture reading. So that afternoon is just sort of for them understanding, like, what am I going to be doing, or how does this work? You know, we also show them the computer and how the program works there, so they're all comfortable with the sound booth and things like that. So a lot of it is practical, and then the first part is very much setting the basis of expectations of why it's important to volunteer, as well as what I expect from you if you're going to be in crew. And a lot of that was contained inside the brochure as well, because it needs to get home to the family as well. Parents need to be on board with what their kids are committing to, right? And then after that, we end with a pizza party, because who doesn't like pizza? So, and it's a really good time to connect with their families at that time as well. Now, through the year, we don't do like any sort of lessons or other orientations. I would love to do that, but it's really hard sometimes just to get these families to bring their kids consistently to church, right? And so that's the flexible nature of it, is, you know, working with whoever's there. And sometimes I call a kid who's off to schedule. I'm like, hey, do you want to help today? And they're happy to jump in. And so it is important to have that level of commitment, but keep the flexibility as well to allow others to join. And I do allow other kids to come in during the year as applications kind of come in, you know, and I'll just sit down with them separately for like a 30-minute orientation to get them up to speed, because you get new families all the time. Go ahead.
So, does I understand you don't do a regular crew meeting or something like that?
That's the next thing I was going to say. Is that, so before the service, they come 30 minutes early, just like every other volunteer. They're there when the volunteers are there. And so we have like a Saturday night service. They're there 30 minutes before. So I'm blessed to have a ministry assistant who meets with them. So he runs the kids' crew program. So while I'm talking with my volunteers about what's going to be happening in the service and praying with them, he's meeting with the kids' crew and making sure that they're all assigned different roles and they know what they're doing, right? And requirements we have for them is we do a memory verse program, so they got to have their memory verse memorized, they got to bring their Bible, right? And we've been trying to be a little more strict in those things because we want them to be examples, right? We want them to be able to lead by example, like it says in 1 Timothy. And so that meeting is really kind of to get them in that space and get them ready and to pray with them as well, right? So we do that before every service. And so they're there just as much as any other volunteer is there. Mm-hmm. And then because we do a three-part program, we do like a time of worship, then a Bible teaching, and then a small group. Their time with crew is over after the worship time. And then they join their Bible classes and their small groups like anybody else. Any other questions? Yeah. I wish I had a volunteer crew coordinator. That would be a blessing for me. I have not found that person yet. But truthfully, it doesn't take too much time. It really depends on who's putting together your worship time. If you're doing that, then you have to be able to hand that off to somebody so they know at least the order of your service of what you have planned, so they can assign the kids the roles, right? I would love to grow this thing into who knows what, right? It's always about what God gives us. So if you can't meet with them, then maybe you consider maybe one of your own grade 5 teachers if they're willing to take on that role. And as long as you're just kind of forwarding them what's going to be happening that weekend, so that way they can delegate to the kids when they get there. Mm-hmm. It really depends on the kind of the programs you use as well. Like we use Planning Center online, and so I can put all the service order online. And that's probably too advanced to talk about today, but I start somewhere and see where it goes, because your programs probably have different needs than mine, right? But finding those places where you can get kids to volunteer and to step in and do those things, even if it's not polished, and my program's not polished at all, I'll tell you that, right? But it's going, right? And kids look forward to it every year as they go into grade 5 to be able to do this. So I don't have it all together. That's a confession right there. A few other things I want to talk about as well, ideas, is that we always try to spotlight Operation Christmas Child. I don't know if you guys do that in your church, but if you have programs come like that through, kids love to be involved with those things, right? And so I really make a point of talking it up during that time. Like, hey, who's doing a shoebox? How many shoeboxes can we do? One year we did like, you know, how many shoeboxes can we get, right? And not that the number matters, but just getting them involved together. Like, get together with your friends, work on a shoebox together. And getting them to see that this impacts a child in another country, right? Showing those promo videos, like, you can do this, and it is a ministry, and it impacts people around the world for a lifetime, right? With the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Operation Christmas Child is another great thing that kids can latch onto and figure out if they're gifted in being able to do things like that. Toys for Tots is another one, which is an easy, like, one-day thing, but also teaching them the value of giving, right? And some kids love to give. Another thing that's coming up at our church, we do like a missions conference. And sometimes, so we have all these booths of different missionaries that kind of come represent, and it's just for the weekend, so it kind of takes over our service. And so what we do with the grade school, and this is from K to 5, we just take a break from our curriculum, and we get them to go visit those missionaries. And so we'll do a time of worship together, and then instead of a Bible lesson in a small group time, we take them out in the foyer while the service is happening. And this works well for us in our building. But they go around for 45 minutes, and they get to visit all the different booths and learn about what missionaries do, both locally and globally. And that exposure is really important, I think. The kids understand that you can be a missionary one day, right? Ask questions, right? Figure out who these people are and what they do, because that could be you too, right? So that exposure. And there's a family who went on a missions trip this last spring break. And family mission trips are great too. That's another way that kids can be mobilized into ministry. But I can't tell you how to make that happen, and that's really up to the families, right? But letting them know that there are types of missionary trips they can take where kids can come along over spring break. And so I have this family who did that, and coming up in May when we do that missions weekend, I'll have some of those kids come and share their experiences during our worship time, right, before they go out and see the booths, because I think it's important for them to see other children doing it as well, right, being examples that way, that, hey, maybe we could, instead of going to Mexico next spring break, maybe we can go to Thailand instead, right, and you're kind of putting that bug in mom and dad's ear as well, of things that might be already tugging on their heart. So those are a few other things, and I'd love to think of like hundreds of other things as well. So just to sort of recap, a lot of this comes out of the heart I have for people to volunteer in children's ministry, right? And a lot of that is just spilling over into seeing that kids can do it too, you know, and they can serve. And it may seem like small things compared to the big things that adults can do, but the thing that really just gets me is when those kids come back and they're so eager to be part of the church and to serve because they were given an opportunity, even if it was little, at a young age. And it sort of enlarges their idea of what church is about, and not just showing up or showing up once a month, but being committed to a ministry and coming and being excited to be there and showing up early, right? And to do it, right? And it's not going to be easy. It's going to be messy, right? Because you're working with kids and you're working with volunteers, right? But it's so worth it. It's so worth it. And it takes time, right? You plant that seed and it's going to take a while, but you never know when you're going to see that fruit, right? I just want to encourage you with that, that I've only seen a 5-year window, but I don't know what 10 to 20 looks like, right? But I'm going to trust God with that. I'm really early, aren't I? So, yeah. I can email it. I have a PDF of it. Yeah. So, does anybody else want that?
I wouldn't mind you going back to the slide. Yeah.
My phone. Sure. Sorry, everything is a little more squishy than I anticipated. Up there.
Good question about parents. Mm-hmm. How long did it take you to take the parents on board? And did the kids actually have to have the parents sign off before they joined the kids group?
Yeah, so this application has a signature on the bottom there.
Okay.
And there's also a parent's name and signature on the other side. They really do want their support in that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they know what they're committing to.
Do you have any intercession for the parents? Like, I'm just curious how the parents did this pretty quickly, or did it take a while for them to kind of catch on with the importance of how the kids could volunteer?
The majority of parents have seen it kind of in action, because when they come and drop off their kids every weekend, the kids crew are right there, like high-fiving right in the face. And so through the years, they kind of, oh, I know what this is. So that's kind of like easy for us, but for some parents who aren't really sure, I'll just contact them on a one-on-one basis. But that would be a good idea. This brochure helps get a lot of the information into the home. That's why I want to go home, get a signature, and come back, so they've read everything. Yeah.
For the action years, I would imagine you probably do it along, or have to have a rehearsal or some training with the worship team to say, well, when I say that, this is what you do all together.
Yeah. We only do like two songs every weekend, and repetition is
really important. Kids. I mean, I make mistakes too. So, but yeah, if you want to look really good, if you have time, yeah, you can rehearse with them. I try to always pick songs that they're familiar with, and I'll be like, okay, who knows this song? If they know it, I'm like, okay, you can come up here. You're not comfortable? Okay, you can just be in the front row, and we'll learn it, you know? But yeah, I don't really want to, I want them to try, right? Even if they only think you're good at it, right? And it doesn't look perfect, you know? But it's a lot of fun. But rehearsals are, we do go through like 8 to 12 songs during the orientation. And through the fall, we tend to utilize a lot of day camp songs, right? We try to get the good ones, kind of the ones that are really worship meaningful, to kind of go into the fall. And so they're kind of like ready to go with some of those already, right? And yeah, if you have a new song, like it's really worth time teaching to them as well as to the kids as well who are participating that weekend.
So for organizing which child is reading and which child is doing tactile, do you use the planning center?
Not specifically, but we did, my ministry system does have like a schedule. It's based off of a volunteer schedule, so where it has each service and each role, yeah. And it's filled in the table. And then he emails that to them in the middle of the week, letting them know what they're going to be doing. So. All right. Well, thank you guys for having me. This is my first time. I hope I did okay. Okay. So, can I pray for you guys? Let's do that. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can gather together in places like this, conferences like this, to share our hearts that we have for children's ministry, for love, for one another. Father, I pray that you would just help us to apply the things that we talked about today. Father, you know what I do, and you know what these people do. You know each of our situations, and they're all different, Father. And you know the needs these children have. You know how to make them grow, because they're your children. So we pray that as we long to serve your church, as we long to humbly and to love one another, to follow Christ's example, that you would just give us wisdom. And how we can mobilize kids into ministry, how we can have wisdom to spur families to get involved today and not to wait until they're older, Father, but to invest in the lives of children now. Lord, we pray that as these children's workers and as myself, as we go out this weekend for our ministries, that you would encourage us, Father, knowing that we can't always just get things perfect, Father, but we can try. I mean, do more than that, we can take the gifts the Holy Spirit has given each and every one of us and put them to use and to encourage each other to give and be part of the body that way. So I pray that you would just give us all wisdom, teach us humility, Father, and also to just empower us with your Holy Spirit to go forth and to do great things for your kingdom. Father, we pray that these children would be blessed by the things that we take away from the conference this weekend. We pray that families would be blessed by the things that we can bring back to them. Lord, I pray that we would speak the truth to one another in love, Father, so that we can grow up together to spiritual maturity, so that we could be a healthy church, because that's what Christ desires, is a pure, spotless bride. And Lord, we thank you that you desire that for us and that you empower us to do these things so we can be that. Lord, we thank you so much for this conference, and we thank you so much for your Son. And so we pray these things in the name of Jesus.